Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session of today's call, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I turn the call over to Mr. Glenn Nowak. You may begin, sir.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for calling in this afternoon for this CDC update on influenza and where we stand in the current influenza season. This telebriefing is going to be handled by Dr. Joseph Brzee, and his last name is B-R-E-S-E-E. He's an MD, and he's chief of our Epidemiology and Prevention Branch at CDC's Influenza Division. Dr. Brzee is going to start off with some opening remarks, and then at that point, we will turn it over to questions and answers. And so I will now turn it over to Dr. Brzee.
Good afternoon, everybody. And I'm going to start with a couple of summary statements about what we're seeing in the season so far. Then I'm going to go to question and answers. I'm happy to answer any question you have. So today, CDC published a summary of influenza activity in the U.S., and so it brings us up to date so far in the season. And we also, the information in this report covers the season through February 11th. In addition, this week's FluView report on CDC's website provides an update on influenza activity for the week February 12th to 18th, 2012. So I want to take a few minutes to describe what we've seen so far this season. First and most important, the flu season has officially begun. This week's FluView reports that the national percentage of respiratory specimens testing positive for influenza rose to 14.4% from 13.4% the prior week. This is the third consecutive week this season that the percent of respiratory specimens testing positive for flu has surpassed 10%, which is generally a marker to indicate that flu season has begun. By this measure, activity this season is off to a very late start. In fact, this is the latest start to the flu season in 29 years. Based on CDC flu surveillance data, the percentage of respiratory samples testing positive for flu has remained below the 10% mark until February, only once before. This occurred during the 1987-88 season. Despite activity remaining low in the U.S. from early October through January, influenza viruses have been reported from all 50 states. Influenza A, H3N2 viruses, 2009 influenza A, H1N1 viruses, and influenza B viruses have all been identified this season in the U.S. So far, influenza A, H3N2 viruses have predominated, accounting for more than 70% of viruses that have been typed. The majority of influenza viruses characterized so far this season are well matched to the strains in the 2011-2012 influenza vaccine. Although slightly fewer than 50% of the flu B viruses tested this season have been similar to the influenza B component in the 11-12 influenza vaccine, very few B viruses have circulated in the U.S. so far this season. Testing of U.S. viruses this year show that all are susceptible to the antiviral drugs oseltamivir and zanamivir, and these data reinforce the value of antiviral medications, especially for persons with serious illness and those at higher risk for serious illness due to influenza because of an underlying health condition. Fortunately, because influenza activity has been relatively low so far this season, levels of severe influenza have also been low. Hospitalization rates for patients with laboratory-confirmed influenza remain low. Pneumonia and influenza-related mortality, based on our 122 cities mortality reporting system, has not exceeded the epidemic threshold for more than 1 week and continues to remain low. And three influenza pediatric deaths have been reported thus far this season, compared with 122 such deaths reported last season. In fact, since 2004, when pediatric deaths associated with influenza infection became a nationally notifiable condition, the numbers of deaths reported to CDC each year has ranged from 46 in the 05-06 season to 282 deaths during the 09-10 season. In fact, 340 influenza-associated deaths among children were reported to CDC during the 2009 H1 pandemic. While most indicators of seasonal flu activity are currently low, we expect them to increase in the coming weeks. For instance, visits to doctors for influenza-like illness nationally remain below baseline this week, but two of the 10 U.S. regions representing Midwestern states reported ILI activity above region-specific baselines and increased from one last week. Also, two states reported widespread influenza activity this week and increased from one from last week. Regional influenza activity was reported in 13 states, an increase from 12 last week, and 20 states reported local influenza activity, an increase from 17 last week. Only the U.S. Virgin Islands and Guam reported no influenza activity this week. This information and a lot of other information is available in CDC's Flu View, and the past issues are archived for you to see on CDC's website. To summarize, then, the United States is experiencing a late start to influenza season this year, but activity has increased during the past few weeks. So this pattern is unusual but not unprecedented, and although we could attempt to speculate as to the possible reasons for this late start, we can only be certain that flu is inherently unpredictable. In addition to flu season starting late, they can also reach peak activity late. In fact, in the past 35 seasons, we've seen peak activity as measured by the month with the highest percentage of respiratory specimens that test positive for flu, 4 times in March and 2 times in April. So we can't predict the timing of peak activity in the United States, nor when the season will end, nor can we predict how severe the season will ultimately be. So if you haven't gotten your flu vaccine yet, or your loved ones haven't gotten their flu vaccine yet, get your vaccine now. It's not too late. Flu vaccine remains the best way to protect yourself from getting the flu. And you'll need this season's vaccine to protect against this season's influenza. And as you know, CDC recommends that everyone 6 months of age and older get the annual flu vaccine. So before I finish, let me just update you on one little bit of data that came in over the last couple of days. As you know, yesterday the World Health Organization announced its recommendations for 3 vaccine viruses to be included in the trivalent Northern Hemisphere flu vaccine for the next season, the 2012-13 season. The recommendations for both the H3N2 component and the B component of the vaccine have been updated this year. WHO's recommendation to update the 2 of the 3 strains for next season's vaccine was based on data collected on influenza viruses circulating in countries around the world. But remember that the current 2011-12 vaccine remains a good match to influenza viruses circulating in the United States at this time. Finally, as an option for vaccine manufacturers that would like to create a quadrivalent vaccine or a 4-component vaccine that would protect against 4 different viruses, WHO has also recommended a 2nd B strain. Production of a quadrivalent vaccine has been under consideration for some time, mostly because there are 2 very different lineages of B viruses called Yamagata and Victoria. And selecting the B virus component for the vaccine has been challenging because the circulation of these 2 lineage viruses have been unpredictable, and they often co-circulate. At the end of this month, the vaccine viruses in the U.S. will be chosen at the FDA's VRBPAC meeting in Washington, D.C. An optional 4th vaccine component doesn't necessarily mean that a 4-component vaccine will be available immediately, however. Finally, implementation will depend on manufacturers, and this could take some time. It does, however, signal that we're moving in the direction of a quadrivalent influenza vaccine. That's all I had, and I'm happy to take questions from anybody who has them.
Thank you. At this time, we're ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And 1 moment for our first question. Our first question comes from Daniel Noom with WebMD. You may ask your question.
Thanks for taking my question. Do you have any figures on the uptake of flu vaccine this year? And is there any sense that the larger numbers of flu vaccinations have had any effect on the number of infections this year?
Yeah, it's a great question, Daniel. Thanks so much for the question. We do have some information. So far, what we know is that 132 million doses of vaccine have been distributed in the United States. And while we don't know the total coverage at this point in time, we do know that as of November or so, there were more people vaccinated by November of this year than were vaccinated by November of last year. But your second part of your question is actually quite interesting. I do think, in fact, that as vaccine coverage increases, we ought to see less disease in the United States. And so I think although this season has been mild and the onset has been late, and that can't be attributed solely to vaccine practices, I do think that increasing vaccine coverage in the United States will certainly and probably is certainly playing a role in less transmission and less disease this year.
Operator, next question.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Donald McNeil with the New York Times. You may ask your question.
Hi, Joe. Can you talk a little bit about why this season is so odd, why the H3N2 predominating and so little H1N1? Is that a result of people having been exposed to the pandemic H1N1 earlier? And can you also talk a little bit about what's going on in the rest of the world and how it might affect the United States? I noticed that the B virus seems to be overwhelming in China and parts of Southeast Asia, which seems unusual too.
Yeah, Don, thanks for those questions. They're good questions, and I wish I knew the right answer to both of them, but let me give you a shot. First, the reason that this season is late and is mild and we see H3s predominating are probably related to a bunch of different factors, some of which we know, some of which we don't know. I think first what we know is the timing of influenza and how severe it is each year and which viruses circulate are actually highly variable and hard to predict. But there are two things or three things that I think are interesting. One is the fact that the viruses circulating this year are quite similar to the viruses that circulated last year. And so it's possible that in the population there are higher levels of immunity to these viruses compared with last year, and that may mean less transmission and less disease. Second, what we know, and as I just said, the vaccine coverage rates continue to trend upward, and that should lead to less transmission over time and less severe disease over time, especially if high-risk people continue to get vaccinated in higher numbers. So those things I know and are probably related but probably aren't the sole explanation for what we're seeing this year. I think there are probably high levels of antibodies in the population against the pandemic H1 because of the high levels of disease we saw in 2009 and 2010, and that probably plays a role in the amount of H1 disease we're seeing this year. And finally, I've been asked a lot of times about the weather. Does the weather play a role? And the weather might. There's been a lot of intense research on weather and how it relates to respiratory virus spread. We do know that in cold, less humid times, influenza viruses remains more viable for longer. And we know that in cold weather, people tend to cluster inside more and maybe facilitate transmission. We know those things. How those things impact this season and what total impact they have on flu circulation overall, I don't know. But I think they might play a role here as well. So I think in the U.S. we're seeing a pattern. We've seen it before occasionally, but it's not very common, and it's probably related to a bunch of different factors, some of which we can speculate on and some of which we can't. I do think that globally it even gets more complicated. As you say, that in China, northern Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, we're seeing lots of bees right now. And in fact, in Laos, we're seeing lots of H1s as well. And in Mexico, we're seeing more H1s than we are in the U.S. And so the specific patterns of influenza virus circulation around the world, I find difficult to predict. Luckily, there's smart people in the world that can predict it well enough to make a good vaccine each year. But I'm not sure I can add much to that. Thanks.
Okay. Operator, next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mitchell Zoller with Internal Medicine News. You may ask your question.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted you to put the 132 million doses of seasonal vaccine distributed in some kind of better context. I know that outside of a pandemic, the CDC really isn't responsible for the distribution, but how does that compare to perhaps any kind of goal or sense you have of what would be adequate levels of immunization in the country?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'll clarify one thing. As you know, of course, the doses distributed don't mean doses given. And so CDC measures two things. Early in the season, we measure how many doses have been sent out to folks. We don't know how many of those have been given necessarily, so we do special surveys to measure how many actually were given to a human and therefore estimates what the uptake is in different populations. I think the 132 doses distributed so far this season is about on par with what we've seen the last few years, slightly under what was distributed all of last season, but we're not quite finished yet. And so I don't know what will happen by the end of the season. I think that coverage rates in key populations like pregnant women, like children, have been trending upward steadily, slowly but steadily over the last couple of years, and that's gratifying. I think that our goals for influenza vaccine coverage are much higher than they are now in most of these groups. We'd certainly like to get to 80% coverage in some high-risk groups, for instance, and we're not near there in any group. And so more people need to get flu vaccine than currently do, and we think by doing that, we can decrease both the transmission of influenza and therefore protect people who didn't get their vaccine this year, but also, more importantly, protect those people that did get the vaccine.
Thank you.
Thank you, operator. If there's next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Teresa Juva with the Journal News. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Why is it that some regions are showing more activity than others? I'm looking. There's widespread cases in Colorado and California and other places. It's still sporadic. Why is that? Is there a historical pattern to where you see cases?
It's a good question. There's not a historical pattern in this, at least within the United States borders. And globally, clearly, there are patterns where the northern hemisphere sees disease mostly in the wintertime and the southern hemisphere in the summertime. But within the United States each year, where flu shows up first, where it occurs next, and where it finishes is pretty variable and entirely hard to predict. And that's why each season, because we can't predict well where it will show up first and where it will go next, we recommend that everybody get the vaccine before influenza activity starts in the U.S. anywhere, so that we make sure that folks are vaccinated well ahead of the season. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, if you have a question, just press star 1. And our next question comes from Michael Smith with MedPage Today. You may ask your question.
Thank you, Dr. Brzee. Quick question, just a small technical one. I thought I heard you say that the proportion of ILI that was actually positive for flu was 13.4 in the week ending February 11th and 14.4 this week, or the most recent week. And I'm just curious because MMWR says 15% for the week ending February 11th.
You have a good eye. I'll check on the numbers after we get off the call, but what happens sometimes is we continue to update the numbers from past weeks with this week's data, and so we get some late reports from labs, and we'll continue to update. So what you'll see is in past weeks in the FluView reports that some of the numbers will change steadily over time, not dramatically usually, but slightly.
Operator, next question.
And at this time, I'm showing no further questions. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 at this time.
All right. Well, if there are no further questions, we will end this press briefing. We will post the transcripts as soon as we can, probably sometime later this afternoon. And if people still have questions related to seasonal flu, the best way to get them answered is to call the CDC press number, which is 404-639-3286. So thank you.
Thank you. And this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.